Let us commence our services today by singing together hymn number 362 to the tune Ascalon 567. How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, "Come, let us seek our God today." Yes, with a cheerful zeal, we haste to Zion's hill, and there our vows and honours pay. Hymn 362. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the prophet Haggai, and we will read both chapters. The prophet Haggai, reading chapters 1 and 2. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labour of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then Haggai spake the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedek the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people in the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10, and when one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labour of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the wine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. May the Lord bless that reading of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, do solemnize our hearts and grant us a spirit of reverence as we seek to approach unto thy great majesty, the Almighty God of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the sustainer of the universe. In thee we live and move and have our being. And we do desire to humble ourselves before thee. Thou art pure, thou art holy, thou art righteous altogether. And we, O Lord, are impure and unholy and unrighteous altogether. Solemnly, Lord, we are born in sin. We are shapen in iniquity. And we do desire to come and humble ourselves before thee. We know and feel and realise that we are unworthy of the very least of thy tender mercies. But we approach thy great majesty in that wonderful name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. And we would indeed, in a reverent and gracious way, seek to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And we come to thee, O Lord, in his name, and we plead his precious merits, that the blood and righteousness alone of Jesus we will plead. We come with that desire to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and to draw from that sacred virtue that is in him. We come with that desire to feel and to know the presence, the power and the grace of the Holy Ghost in our hearts, in our assembly, that the gathering of the people may be unto thee, Lord Jesus, that thou wouldst be the centre, sum and substance of all our hopes and all our desires, and that we may catch a sight of thee this day, that we may indeed see no man save Jesus only, and that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us for thy great name's sake. We often think, O Lord, with thankfulness of those precious words, there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. We come, dear Lord, and desire that thou in thy precious mercy would bless us as a church and as a congregation. We pray, dear Lord, for our brethren the deacons, that all needed grace may be given unto them in the various responsibilities that they have here and also elsewhere, and that thou wouldst undertake for them. We pray for each one of our brethren and sisters in Christ, and pray that even today our hearts may be knit together in love, and that we may be enabled to echo in our hearts what we've sung together. Hear my best friends, my kindred dwell, hear God, my Saviour reigns. We thank thee, Lord, that it is so. We thank thee for that love one toward another. Help us to love each other, serve each other, and bear each other's burdens. And deliver us from the temptations of Satan, whether he comes as an angel of light to deceive us, or whether he comes as a roaring lion to devour us. O most gracious God, do hear us in heaven, thy holy and thy blessed dwelling place. When thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Come and pour forth thy Spirit in our midst. Come and grant those divine drawings of our heavenly Father to be known and felt in our assemblies. Grant thy rich blessing, dearest Lord, upon the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary. Grant that the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, may be given unto them, and that thou wouldst be gracious unto them. Grant, O Lord, we do beseech thee, thy richest blessing to rest upon the dear young friends, each one of them. We think of dear Millie, and we pray that thou wouldst continue to heal and to restore her to needed health and strength. We pray, dear Lord, that those of our dear young friends who stand upon the threshold of life's journey may be led and taught and directed by Thee, may be brought to living faith in Jesus Christ, may become true followers of Thee and of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Supply all their needs in providence in life's journey. Grant, O Lord, that Thou wouldst be with them in their education and give wisdom and understanding. Be with them in the choice of employment and open the way. And graciously be with them regarding a partner in life's journey. O, do hear us in heaven, Thy holy and Thy blessed dwelling place. We do humbly pray. We pray that Thou would remember the prodigals that do not gather with us. We pray that Thou would stretch out Thy almighty arm and cause them to be in want and cause them to return and grant that great rejoicing among us to see those prodigals returning. Grant, O Lord, that there may have been something sown in their hearts in their young and tender years that shall be brought to remembrance. We do humbly pray Thee. We pray for our friends in the evening time of life's journey. And we pray that as the outward man perisheth, the inward man may be renewed day by day. We pray for any among us, whether young or old, that if they know not the truth in its living power in their hearts, that it may please Thee to come and quicken souls and make them cry, "Give me Christ or else I die." Remember all in the midst of the journey of life and graciously undertake for each one. And help us to cast our burdens upon the Lord and make us spiritually minded and set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. O most gracious Lord, make us to live closer to Thee, united to Thee, the living vine, and to draw our strength from Thee, Lord Jesus. O for a closer walk with God, a calmer heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Those in darkness bring into light. Those in bondage bring into liberty. Those far off make them nigh. Through the precious blood of the Lamb, we do humbly beseech of Thee, send real prosperity among us. Leave us not nor forsake us. Send out Thy light and Thy truth into this village. Grant that the strongholds of Satan may be pulled down and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners, and that the gathering of the people may be unto Thee. Grant that there may be those notorious in the ways of sin and of unrighteousness that shall be so wrought upon by the Spirit and made monuments of Thy saving grace, that many others may come also to inquire of this wonderful thing. Grant Thy blessing upon all Thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine today. Grant that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren, and the word preached may be in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. Grant, most gracious Lord, Thou in Thy precious mercy wouldst remember the little causes of truth up and down the land, wherever Thy servants stand, wherever Thy people gather. Grant Thy rich blessing, grant Thy divine favour. We do humbly beseech Thee, and return unto Jerusalem with mercies, and send out Thy light and Thy truth. Remember our leaders, O Lord, and open their eyes to the truth, and graciously bring them to acknowledge the truth of the word of God, of the glory of Christ, of the wonders of redeeming love. Give them wisdom and understanding day by day, and graciously guide them for Thy great name's sake. We are exhorted to pray for all in authority over us, that we may live a quiet and a peaceable life. Grant thy richest blessing upon our beloved Queen and consort and all the royal household. Oh, that thy grace may reach into their hearts. We do humbly beseech of thee. Lord, we thank thee for thy day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. We thank thee for every mercy of thy kind providence. Thy mercies, O Lord, are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. But above all, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We thank thee for the wonderful glories of Christ and for the wonders of redeeming love. We thank thee for the incarnation of the Son of God, for the holy life he lived and the holy law he fulfilled on the behalf of his people, bringing in everlasting righteousness for his people. We thank thee for the glorious and sacred sacrifice of Calvary, where sin has been put away, where God and sinners are reconciled, where divine justice has been satisfied, and a new and living way has been made into the holy place. We thank thee he died for our sins and rose again for our justification, and has now bodily ascended into heaven and sitteth at thy right hand. Great God, fill our hearts with gratitude, with thanksgiving, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of that salvation that is in him. We thank thee that in him we know and we experience the love of our Heavenly Father, and through him we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Be with us now, Lord, as we turn to thy holy word. Come and open thy word to our heart and to our understanding. Come and bless us with light and understanding, with power and with grace. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 1140. The tune is Charmouth, 867. Great Shepherd of thine Israel, who didst between the cherubs dwell, and led the tribes thy chosen sheep, safe through the desert and the deep. Hymn 1140. greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help and direct your attention to the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, reading verse 13 for our text. The prophet Haggai, chapter 1, reading verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Haggai prophesied just after the return of the children of Israel from the land of Babylon, that long 70 years captivity that the children of Israel had when Nebuchadnezzar came with his armies and overrun Jerusalem and took the king and all the princes and the elders of the people. They only left a very few poor people in the land. All the rest were taken into the land of Babylon, into the land of captivity. And the reason being for that was because of their sin against the Lord. The Lord had in a most wonderful way called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, led him, guided him, directed him, promised him the land of Canaan, and promised him a seed. He gave him a seed. And he said concerning that seed, which was Isaac, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that is the promise of the coming of Christ. And from that time, the scriptures look at the seed of Abraham, because it's through that seed. You remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell into sin, and the Lord, he said unto them that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. It's the promise of the coming of Christ. And then when we come down to Abraham, it's the seed of Abraham. The promise of the Lord was given to Abraham. He was in Ur of the Chaldees, among the heathen, and the Lord called him out. And that promise, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Not just Israel, but all the nations of the earth. But for some 2,000 years from then, it was in the Old Testament among the Jews. Principally, the truth dwelt among the Jews. They were the Lord's chosen people in the Old Testament period. And he revealed himself unto them through his prophets and through his priests, and through their kings, again and again, the Lord revealed himself unto them. And then we come down to King David, the man after God's own heart. And the Lord promised him, there shall not fail thee a king to sit upon thy throne forever. And that's a promise of Christ, of the coming of Christ. When Christ actually came here on earth, there was no longer the royal throne of David. It had been usurped by others. So you might say, what does it mean? Well, Christ was born of the seed of David. It is very plainly revealed in Holy Scripture that the Virgin Mary was born of the seed of David. And it's through her, the Holy Ghost overshadowing her womb, that the Holy Child Jesus was born, who is the Son of God, manifest in the flesh. And when Simeon came into the temple, he took him up in his arms, that little baby. There was nothing different about that little baby to any other little baby, not to look on outwardly. But Simeon came into the temple of the Lord by faith, And he took that child in his arms and he said, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that that child was set for the rise and fall of many in Israel. You see, my beloved friends, the Lord is faithful to his word and faithful to his promise. Then when the children of Israel so sinned against the Lord with their idolatry, with their covetousness, that the Lord, he brought the armies of Nebuchadnezzar upon them to chastise them. And again in the prophets previous to the Babylonian captivity, the Lord promised again and again that they would return to the land of Israel. And though in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he ruled the known world at that time. Under his kingdom were 122 provinces that stretched from India to Ethiopia. A vast area was the kingdom of Babylon. The Medes and the Persians overran Nebuchadnezzar. And they took over his kingdom. And this is what is in our text here, in the second year of Darius the king. Darius was one of the Medes and the Persians. And just before him was Cyrus. And it was promised of God in the prophecy of Isaiah, which was written a long time before the Babylonian captivity. Cyrus was actually named in the prophecy of Isaiah as the king that would facilitate the return of the children of Israel from the land of Babylon back into the land of Israel. And though that looked utterly impossible, the time came when the word of the Lord was fulfilled. And the children of Israel were able to return. We notice the first part of that return was in the days of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, a very important role that he had. And he had the king's ear, and he was greatly sad. And the Lord said, "What maketh thee sad?" And he said that the city of Jerusalem of my people is burned with fire, its heaps of rubble, and I greatly mourn because of it. Now, what had happened there is that it had come to the 70 years of their captivity. And the Lord was facilitating their return. And when he spake to the king gave him everything that he needed to return to Jerusalem. He gave him letters to the keepers of his forest so that he could get wood, and everything that was needful and necessary to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And he returned. And at that time there returned 42,000 of the children of Israel into the land of Israel, into Jerusalem. They rebuilt the wall, though it was in troublous times. They had great opposition and great trouble. But the walls were built in the days of Nehemiah, the governor of Judah. The gates were set up and the houses were built within the defence city of Jerusalem, and the Lord greatly prospered them in the days of Nehemiah. Now, the prophet Haggai is around about 18 years after the days of Nehemiah. And we notice here, we're given the exact dates here. What Haggai was raised up was to prophesy concerning the house of the Lord. He says here in the fourth verse, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?" That is, the house of the Lord was lying waste, and yet they dwelt comfortably. What he means in their sealed houses, that they'd all been rebuilt, the roofs were on, and the places were made fit and habitable for their dwellings. And they were safe and comfortable. And they were quite happy with that. And Haggai was raised up to say, you must build the temple of the Lord. The Lord has returned you. The Lord has had mercy upon you. You must build the temple of the Lord. And indeed, here in this chapter, it speaks of the Lord's chastising hand that was upon them. Look what he says in verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and brought in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but they not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. That was the Lord's chastising hand. He withheld their natural prosperity to awaken them. And so that Haggai could say unto them, the reason for this is because you're so comfortable with things as they are. You know, you might say to me, what relevance does this have to us? It has every relevance, my beloved friends. You look at Zion today and the church of the living God today, and it's very minished and brought low. And there are few signs that follow the preaching of the word. The Lord is withholding his hand. And as we read in Holy Scripture, is there not a course? Now, my beloved friends, does it concern you? And does it concern me that the house of God is so minished and so brought low? Or that the Lord, as we read just after our text here, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, that is the governor of Judah. He stirred up his spirit. He stirred up the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek. Why? Because of the preaching of Haggai the prophet. That's why their spirits were stirred up. Contemporary with Haggai was Zechariah, the next book here. They prophesied together. And I was thinking of these two prophets standing together. And we read in Holy Scripture, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall everything be established. The prophet Zechariah was a far more extensive prophecy. But these two servants of the Lord, they worked together. And through them, the Lord stirred up the spirit of his people. Oh, my dear beloved friends, how we need the Lord to stir up our spirits. That we might not just be satisfied. We have our houses, we have our comforts, and we have our chapel. And we're just quite satisfied with coming backwards and forwards to chapel. And as long as everything's all working quite well, we're quite happy. My dear beloved friends, what about the true spiritual prosperity of Zion? What about the signs following the preaching of the word? Because there are so few. Does it not concern you? Does it not burden you? Does it not trouble you? When we see chapels closing here, there and everywhere, does it not burden you? Does it not trouble you? Or do you just sit back and fold your arms and say, well, the Lord's a sovereign in these matters. And that's as much as you're concerned. There's a deep lack of concern in what is said there, my beloved friends. Oh, that the Lord would stir up our spirits. You see, so we see here in verse 12, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. You see, the Lord had sent him. And that they're the only ones of the true servants of the Lord where there is true prosperity. Never forget, my beloved friends, it seemed to strike me when I was looking at this word yesterday. And then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Haggai was the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. He had a message. And every one of the true servants of God, they have a message for their day and for their generation. And it's a message from the Lord that he speaks unto the people. Oh, that we might take heed unto that message, unto that word which the Lord sends. And that the Lord indeed, as it was with Haggai, as it was with Zechariah, that the Lord would speak to them. You know, just as the temple was to be built, and Zerubbabel was to lay the foundation stone, it greatly troubled Zerubbabel that he was a wise man and he was a godly man. That's made very clear from Holy Scripture. He's also a type of Christ, but he was a wise man and a godly man. And he'd got this great task. They were a greatly weakened people. They were not a large amount of people, 42,000 plus whatever had been born since they'd been there. And they were surrounded by enemies, the enemies of the Lord. We read of it in the prophet, in Nehemiah, Tobias the Arabian and others. They were, and they tried to hinder the work of the Lord, whatever they did. And that when they rebuilt Jerusalem, they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, so that they could defend themselves from their enemies. And still here in these days of Haggai and Zechariah, which is nearly 20 years after Nehemiah, they were still surrounded with enemies. And what burdened and what troubled Zerubbabel was, would he be able to finish? Would he be able to finish the building of the temple? He was greatly concerned about starting something that he could not finish. And it greatly burdened him. And the purpose of Zechariah was to open up to him that he would be able to finish it. And so if you look at Zechariah chapter 4, and we see there, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold. You know, the emblem of the land of Israel even today, and it has been for centuries, was a candlestick of seven lamps. One candlestick. That's what was in the Holy of Holies, that one candlestick with seven lamps. And that candlestick and those lamps, or the candles on it, represent the church of the living God on earth. What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps were upon the top thereof, and the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side thereof. See, and that living olive tree and the pipes leading from the olive tree into the lamps, pouring olive oil straight into the lamps. You know, it says here in the latter part of this chapter, if you just look in verse 11, then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The Lord of the whole earth is our eternal Father. The two anointed ones that stand by him is the eternal Son of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And it's through them that the oil of grace flows into the church of God. A continual supply of oil from that living olive tree. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, oil represents grace. It represents grace. Now, just bearing all this in mind, and what he says here in this chapter, and what this message was that Zechariah had to deliver. Verse 6, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." See, Zerubbabel was so concerned that he would not be able to finish that temple. And what the Lord was speaking to Zerubbabel said, the church of God is not built by the might and power of man. Not by your might, Zerubbabel. Not by your power, Zerubbabel. But by my spirit. And that is how the church of God is built. Not by the might of man, but by the power of God. Just as the apostle says unto the Thessalonians, our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. And then this great mountain of building this temple, it says in verse 7, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain." This is where Zerubbabel is a beautiful type of Christ. "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." Zerubbabel, the Lord will be with you. The Lord will maintain you. And the Lord will enable you to bring forth the top stone thereof, crying, Grace, grace unto it. And this is the Lord's message to us today. His church is in his hand. And he will send his servants. And he will bless the ministry of the word. But oh, my beloved friends, that the Lord would stir up our spirits, that we may be enabled to labour. You see, we live in a day of small things. And here in the fourth chapter of Zechariah, we read in the 10th verse, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven which run to and fro through the whole earth." See, the Lord of hosts, he will build this house, his house. He will gather his children into the house of God. But he stirs up the spirit of his people. I'm absolutely sure of this, my beloved friends. You've only got to read in past history in the church how that the Lord stirred up the spirit of his people. And he caused them to wrestle with him and to labour with him in prayer, in supplication, that he would work, that he would make bare his holy arm in the gospel, and that the Lord Jesus might be exalted, and that poor sinners may be converted unto him, and that the strongholds of Satan might be pulled down, and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners. Does it burden your heart? Does it concern you? Do you long for the prosperity of Zion, for the building of the walls of Jerusalem? Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message. This is the thing. He had a message that he was to carry unto the church of God at that time. And it was the Lord's message. And every heaven-sent servant of the Lord, he has the Lord's message. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. And, you know, we need the Spirit of God and the Lord's servant. And you know, how we need to pray for the Lord's servants. That the Lord would pour his spirit upon them. That the Lord would grant a spirit of power. That the Lord would grant a door of utterance. The apostle Paul, when he writes to the Ephesians, and he speaks of the whole armour of God. And then he says to the brethren at Ephesus that they should pray for him, that there might be given unto me a door of utterance. A door of utterance. When you come up to the house of the Lord, you know, I don't expect you to understand. It's only something that the Lord's servants really understand. There are more times than not that I come into this pulpit and I feel utterly, utterly empty. And I wonder however I'm going to preach. But that is the path of the Lord's servants. How often do you, sitting in the pew, how often do you pray? When you're coming up to the house of the Lord, when you're at home, before you come to the house of the Lord, do you consider the servant of the Lord? Who's been sitting and studying and praying and seeking the Lord to give him a message, to give him a word to come and preach unto the people. And when he comes, he feels so empty and so poverty-stricken. He comes sometimes so tempted of the devil that he thinks he'll be absolutely brought to nothing and he'll be dumb before the people. Can you imagine what that feels like? See, but that happens constantly with the true servants of the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. I am with you. My mind was very much drawn. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is called the messenger of the covenant. The messenger of the covenant. We read in the prophet Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 1. And in this verse, our Lord Jesus Christ is called the messenger of the covenant. He had a message for his people. Christ had a message. It's the message of salvation. It's the message of redemption. It's the message of the eternal love of God to his people. It's a message of hope, of salvation, redemption, and reconciliation unto God. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That is John the Baptist. And then it says, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. That is our Lord Jesus Christ, whom ye delight in, because he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He came once, and as we have the sacred blessing of the gospel, we can look back to 2,000 years ago, when our Lord Jesus Christ was here upon earth, which is being promised the messenger of the covenant. And he's coming a second time, without sin, unto salvation, to receive his people unto himself. And we can say today this exact word, but who may abide the day of his coming? My dear beloved friends, are you prepared for that great day, when Christ comes again, without sin, unto salvation? He himself says, be ye also ready. Are you made ready for the day of judgment? Are you made ready for that day? Top lady in that well-known hymn, Rock of Ages, he speaks of soaring through tracks unknown, seeing him on his judgment throne. And there's such a reality in that. When I soar through tracks unknown. When? When you die. When your spirit returns unto God who gave it. That's what the word of God declares. But you need preparing for that day. If you're prepared for that day, it will be a most glorious day, a most blessed day. But when you'll enter into the joy of the Lord, when you see him face to face, when you're worshipping him in his holy temple in heaven, it will be a most glorious day. But if you're not prepared, for that great day, it will be a most solemn day. When he will say to you, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what he will say to all those that know not God and love not our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. But who may abide the day of his coming? This is the glorious messenger of the covenant. And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Oh, my dear beloved friends, may these words indeed stir you up. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, and stirred up the spirit of Joshua, and he stirred up the spirit of the people, that they were willing to work, that they were willing to build the temple of the Lord. And now we need the Lord today to stir us up to a greater diligence in prayer and in supplication, that we may see his work and his power and his glory. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, I am with you, saith the Lord. It's a very comforting message. When I was looking at this, the Lord's messenger, my mind was very much led in thought and meditation to Jeremiah the prophet. And when the Lord sent Jeremiah, and we read in the first chapter of Jeremiah of his sending as a prophet. And we read in the second verse. Well, we read in the first verse of Jeremiah. And then in the second verse it says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, godly King Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And in verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now look at the effect. And it's obviously that Jeremiah was very young by what he said. Jeremiah said, Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. That was how he felt. He felt completely unsuited unto it. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee. You see, same as what there is in our text, for I am with thee. To deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Do you know, this passage of scripture, when I was exercised about the ministry, used to walk up in my very soul. Especially those words, I have put my words in thy mouth. It used to walk up and down in my heart when I was burdened about the ministry. See, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. Notice what he'd got to do. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. There's a lot that the minister has to do by way of exposition of scripture, by way of mourning, by way of warning, by way of admonition. And then it says to build and to plant. But he had to do the other things as well. All those things that are false, foreign to the word of God and the ways of God and the truth of God. He was to pull them down. It's no different for a gospel minister. He has to do the same. He has to search out his people from their refuges of lies, from their false hopes, from resting on this or resting on that. There's only one thing you've got to rest on. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if you do not have him in your heart, the hope of glory, then you're not ready to die. The language of a living soul is give me Christ or else I die. If you live and die without Christ, you live and die to eternal death and eternal damnation. If you live and die with Christ, then there's eternal glory. There's everlasting happiness. Now we read at the latter part of Jeremiah chapter 1, the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Now look at what he had to say to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah had some very serious opposition to contend with. Not only just from the lower people, but from the kings of Israel, from the princes of Israel. They put him in prison. They cast him into a dungeon. They would have slain him if they could, but the Lord preserved him. Thou therefore, gird up thy loins and arise, speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made this day a defence city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee. There, that same word that we have in our text. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. I shall never forget, I know I've told you on a number of occasions, the first word that the Lord spake unto me regarding the ministry of the word. I'd been exercised about it for some 3 years. And it was when I transferred my membership from Western into Black Boys, just before I was married. And my late pastor, Mr. Jupp, when he gave me the right hand of fellowship, he said he'd had a word from the book of Ruth on his spirit. But he said, the Lord has given me another word. And that was from Isaiah chapter 54. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That word came with such divine power right into my soul. I knew exactly from whence it had come, and I knew exactly what it meant. I did indeed. And I often thought about it, and in thinking about it, there were things in that word that were very opposite to my flesh. You might say, what do you mean? Well, I knew by the word given that there would be opposition, that there would be weapons that would be formed against me. And it's true, that has happened over the years. Weapons have been formed against me. And yet, here I am today, by the grace of God. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. You see, my beloved friends, the Lord, he gives these words unto his servants. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And then we, of course, have that beautiful, precious word, probably one of the most well-known promises of God in Holy Scripture, in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, fear thou not. As I've often explained to you, there is more than one word of promise in this verse. There's a multitude of promises all joined together. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Why does he say that? Because there are times when you will be dismayed and you'll wonder how ever you're going to get through. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, that is what we call an affirmative word. Yes. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Now, my beloved friends, why is it that the Lord's living, true servants have so much opposition? There's only one reason. As I sat meditating yesterday morning, it came so vividly to my mind. There is only one reason. The carnal mind. Your carnal mind. My carnal mind. The carnal mind of man. The carnal mind is enmity to God. Is not subject to the law of God. Nor indeed can be. And that is why the Lord's servants who preach the true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and warn men and women of the consequences of their sin, that is why they have so much opposition. Because the carnal mind is in a state of rebellion against God and does not like the truth of God preached unto it. Is their enmity to God, and therefore the Lord's servants will always be on the end of that enmity. When they preach, there'll be those that will rise up against them in enmity to the message they have to speak. And I'm quite sure of this, that the more faithful you are, the more separating you are, the more hatred and the more enmity that you will have from the people that you preach to. It's been my own experience over the years. But you see, the Lord, he speaks again and again unto his servants and unto his people. I am with thee. I am with thee. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And you know, my beloved friends, when the Lord actually brings you to see these things, it's very unpleasant and it's very opposite to our nature to have people at enmity to you. But when you know why they're at enmity to you, you actually feel sorry for them. You don't dislike them. You feel sorry for them. Because you know that their enmity is not actually to you. It's to the Lord. It's a solemn thought, isn't it? Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message, unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Oh, with Christ in the vessel, we smile at the storm. With our great King, the King and head of the church, when he grants his presence, when he grants his help, there is no sweeter, there is no more blessed place to be as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter. I am with you, saith the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us now sing together hymn number 366 to the tune St. Fulbert 221. The Lord in Zion placed his name, his ark was settled there. To Zion the whole nation came to worship thrice a year. Hymn 366. now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.